Welcome to another edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I am here with my good friend and also my neighbor who lives two doors away, Fitzy, or as his real name and given name is Matthew Fitzgerald, but I like to call him Fitzy for short because it's just a very easy way coming out. So welcome to the podcast and welcome to Speakeasy Studios.
Thank you, sir. Great place.
Thank you. Yeah, and you said that you have a little bit of history that someone prior owned this, you knew their grandparents.
Yep. Yeah, the Nevilles started Valley Public Supply in here way back when I was a kid. Grew up my really good friend Matt Bouchard, so this was the shop.
That's interesting.
I was here as a kid, so
that's great because cool. I didn't know that, and we'll talk a little bit about that since I wasn't aware of that. But what we're drinking today is our favorite garage beer, and since we're in a garage, we are going to take down some Surly one-man mosh pit. I love it. Let's crack a beer first, and then we'll get talking.
Sounds good.
Oh, got you a koozie sponsored by the Craig Jacobson Real Estate.
Perfect.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
Man, this is nothing more than what we just do in the summer.
I feel it's just we're inside right now. That's it.
There they go. We got those bad boys. Let them roll. Let them roll. We can't drink the whole pack, can we?
Not me.
Well.
Maybe.
Well, I
know. I've come close.
Well, first of all.
Sure have a headache the next day.
Let's cheers first.
Cheers.
Cheers, bud. Oh, man.
Yep. That's a good hazy right there.
This tastes like summer.
It's great.
So it's a hazy, citrusy, tropical, hazy IPA from Surly, which Surly is just right up the river from us over in the Minneapolis area. So supporting those local breweries around there. Have you ever been here before?
I have not been there.
Neither have I, and I got to make a trip there sometime.
Well, I'd like to. Same with down in Decorah.
Yep, Toppling.
Toppling would be a good one, too.
Hurley and I were talking on that when we had that one on about a month ago.
Yep.
I like that. That's a good place to go to. Really, really big, too, and it's on the outskirts of Decorah, so you don't even really know it's there unless you drive to it. But this is a really good one. I love this one on the river. This is probably my go-to. And the first time I ever had it was at River City Grill when they did taps on a Tuesday.
Still got it on tap.
Do you? Yeah, yep. I know they have it there on tap. When was the first time you ever had this?
I don't even remember. I think I started getting into hazies, and I was at MGM, and I saw it, and I thought, wow, I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah.
And I got hooked on it ever since. It's my favorite hazy IPA for sure.
And I love this one, too. And the box stands out like
like
a sore thumb. I don't know why they call it one-man mosh pit, but they must have come up with it somehow.
No idea.
There's another one that my dad likes. It's called, and it's from the Vikings, I'm assuming. It says, Before I Die. That's what it's called, Before I Die. And the can is purple and gold. So I think it means let's win one before we die, because as a Vikings fan, we know all that goes.
I guess I haven't heard that one.
It's a lager, so I know that's why he likes that one. He likes lagers, and we're into IPAs, it seems.
Yep, hazies. Not much of the real hoppy stuff. That's why the hazy works well.
Yep.
A lot of the ales, and then your standards, you know. I did actually get the new one that they have.
What was that one?
Not the variety pack that they have, but the, was it the Imperial Ale?
Oh, okay.
The juicy Pale Ale.
Oh, okay.
They had that at MGM, so I picked it up yesterday, had one of them. Not bad. Not as good as this.
Not as good. No, there's something about this one, I tell you
it's
what.
It's good.
This one does, you know, if someone's like, hey, I don't like the hoppy IPAs.
This is perfect.
And this is 7.2%, so.
It's up there, yeah.
It could kick you on the butt.
For sure.
Especially on the river when you're sweating and it's hot out. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Been there.
So what other than this one, what would be your next go-to beer? Because you said you're not big into the hoppy stuff, right?
No. I do like the Deschutes. They have like a hazy that's really good.
Fresh Squeeze, I think, is what you're probably referring to. It's called Fresh Squeeze,
I think. I believe it is.
Yep. That one's not as smooth as this one, though. I just had it recently.
Nope. But it's not bad. And then Founders has that All Day IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not a hazy. But you can drink it all day. The name says it. Like my buddy Brian said, he's the one that kind of got me into trying these beers.
Sure.
I was always just a Bud Light, you know, Coors Light, you name it. And finally one day he's like, just try something different. Like, I'm not into it, man. Well, he ended up getting that one. He goes, the name says it all. And I drank it and I went, no shit, you're not kidding. This is literally an all day IPA you can drink.
Is that the one that has like a car on it?
Yeah,
green. Yep. green with box. A car and something yep. else. I know exactly which one you're talking
not,
about. I've had that one.
Not bad. That kind of got me started on it. I've had some very bad ones that I, you know, dump out.
But, yeah.
Or save them for someone that does like them. But this is the one that's always in my fridge.
Yeah, I know.
I was a little bummed when they discontinued it there for like a year or so.
I think they probably thought maybe it'd just be a summer one and then bring it back every summer. But it must have been popular, which we're glad it is.
Yeah, I am.
This was even good in the winter months.
Right, right.
So the funny thing is, now that you have this and you see me when I come home, mostly in the summer, you'll text me and say, I got a beer with your name on it down here. Come on down. And sometimes it turns into an all-night event.
Sometimes it's, one, two in the morning for sure.
There was that one night when I came home. I think I came home from a golf tournament, and I'm like, hey, I got one for you. And you're like, oh, I can only have one. And then it turned into an all-nighter.
It was late. That was a late night. We've had many of them.
Yeah. So it's funny because you and me, we've been neighbors now just for slightly over 2 years.
It's been that long already.
It has. Wow. January 7th of 2022 is when I purchased the house. Jeez. And it's so funny though, because I love our neighborhood where we're in. Mm-hmm. Everyone around us is just kind of fun. Even we have a wide variety of ages.
Oh, absolutely.
But obviously, you know, when my neighbor's husband or ex-husband comes home, it's a good time.
Yep.
But yeah, I love just walk down, come on down, have a beer. It's awesome because some nights I'm coming home, I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, and then all of a sudden you see me run by. Yeah. Yep. And
you're
like,
people hey, are come outside, on down. You can figure something out. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah, so and I also noticed that you have a Traeger.
Oh yeah.
And now we have one as well.
Yeah.
And you're out there all the time.
All the time.
So what's like the one thing that what would be something that you would pair with this beer on the Traeger?
Steak.
Just any steak, doesn't matter.
Ribeye, New York strip.
Okay.
Steak, that's what we go for every time.
Every time. Do you do anything else on that besides steaks?
Yeah, ribs. I've done pork butts. Wife does chicken a lot, actually. She'll smoke chicken breasts and have them for just weekly lunch.
Oh, I suppose
she'll meal prep for the week, so she'll do that usually on Sundays. She'll do that, and then she'll be doing that in the afternoon, and then I'll grill steaks on it afterwards.
Yeah, well, I suppose when you smoke the chicken, it probably doesn't get all dried out.
No,
like if you're grilling it, and
that
then
thing, it works awesome, and it's such good flavor with it too. I mean, I wish I would have bought one sooner, but I'm glad I bought one because I'm hooked.
Well, and you know, the thing is, I'm a well-done steak guy, so I'll probably get crucified by those listening. But it does, when you do it, you're like, so Stephanie, my wife, she puts the prong in to figure out how hot it is inside. And she said a well-done steak is roughly about 161 degrees. So she lets it go to that. But then when I cut it, it doesn't look like a well-done steak.
No, it's not pink, weird. But it's slow. If you cook it slow, it's just very weird. Seems like that pink color stays fairly long, because we just made some steak burgers with some family last weekend, and I mean, they were thick, real thick ones, and they were like, I think I cooked them to like 150, they were still all pink through the middle, but really? I cook it, you know, low and slow, 180, that's all I did for them.
Was that during the Super Bowl?
That was Super Bowl.
That's actually thought.
Super Bowl weekend, so I did a rack of St. Louis ribs.
Ooh, yes.
Little smokies, you know, just throw them in there, some barbecue sauce, let them go. And then burgers and hot dogs for the kids. So,
what is St. Louis ribs? Is that something different
than
a normal?
It's just a different cut of ribs. My personal favorite are baby backs. Okay. Always like those. The St. Louis style, they're a little bit thicker, wider.
Okay.
And maybe a little more fatty too, in my opinion.
Sure.
But I go for the baby backs. I just always have liked those better than those, but they're good. I mean, they're not bad.
Yeah.
A lot of the rest, you know, barbecue joints carry baby backs and St. Louis style. Okay.
So it's just a different style is all it is.
It's just different kind of, just a different cut. I think it's the front half of the rib, not the back half where the baby is. I believe that's how it works.
Okay. So I don't know all that kind of stuff. And you seem like
I'm not a pig scientist, but hey.
Just a one-man mosh pit griller. So then you also have a Blackstone, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now of those two, which one do you prefer?
They're two different ones.
If someone
Traeger.
Says, Traeger? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the Black's great for breakfast. You can't go wrong with it. Breakfast smash burgers are fantastic on it.
Yep.
I like to grill my steaks, smoke the steaks, slow, hour and a half, and then reverse sear them on the Blackstone.
Okay. So you're using both of them.
That's how I did. I recently, summertime's a little easier, car's outside, it's warmer out, you don't have to mess around. So I'll do that in the summertime more. Right now, I bought one of the food propane torches.
What is that?
It's literally a propane little canister.
Oh, okay,
And it's a torch, but for food, so it doesn't taste like the gas or propane.
I know what you're talking about now.
So I just sear the steaks out of that when I'm done. Yeah. Works great right on the grill.
And you can light your cigar, too, if you have one.
Oh, yeah, in a hurry.
So if I had to, I would take Blackstone. It's probably because the food that I like would be better on a Blackstone. Yeah. So I'm big into hibachi.
Yeah. Oh, that's great for that.
Oh,
we do Korean barbecue. Oh, yes. Fantastic.
Smash burgers, I love those. Yep. French toast, eggs, anything. So I would, if someone says, hey, here's $500 or whatever they cost, you get to choose one or the other. I'm going Blackstone for sure.
Yeah.
And Stephanie cooked in the military, so she's really good at everything.
It's a flat top. You can cook everything on it. I mean, it's just, it's pretty universal with what you can do with it. But like I said, breakfast is my big thing for it.
Yeah.
It's easy. You don't have to get in your house and have four different pans going on. You go out, throw everything on one big cast iron.
Wasn't it you that came over and was marinating our grill to make it?
We seasoned it.
Yeah, you seasoned it. last year I brought it home, and then the next day you were over there seasoning it perfectly.
With some Graj beers. That was pretty late at night we were doing that.
Yeah,
actually.
We were.
I do remember that.
Stephanie was pretty appreciative. She's like, I didn't know I was supposed to do all that.
Got to season them or they don't work.
That's great then. So you guys, I notice now you guys have Toyotas.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Toyota family.
Yes.
And you just got one of the new Sequoias, correct?
Wife did, yeah.
How is she liking it?
Loves it.
Really?
Yeah, loves
now,
it.
Now, I noticed you still have a black sedan, like a
Camry. She still has her Camry that she bought 10 years, maybe 13 years ago.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't remember. 13 years ago, maybe.
You guys keep them both then?
That's going to be her daily.
Okay.
She's got to commute to La Crosse a couple days a week, so she's going to put the miles on that and keep the Sequoia low, hopefully.
I saw that because it's a platinum, right?
With
white and black accents.
It's awesome.
The thing looks sharp.
It is sweet.
So have you driven it yet?
Every time I can. She wants to keep it out of the,
out of the elements.
Out of the elements right now, and I get it. So it's been a pretty good winter, so we actually taken out here and there.
Yep.
A couple times at the store, and then also, her brother came over a couple weeks ago, showed him, took it out. So
sure.
It's fun to drive, and there's so many features in that damn thing. I can't.
I know.
I didn't even probably use half of them.
Oh, that thing looks just so tough coming down the street.
Yeah.
And she ordered that like a year prior, didn't she?
Yeah, she had to wait a year to get it.
Oh, man. Those are sweet. Like that new Sequoia, because the other ones are very rounded.
Very.
And I was like, it kind of looks like a beluga whale coming down the street,
right.
Actually. But the new ones, they look fantastic. And I did test drive one of the new Tundras.
Same motor.
Same everything. Yeah, I mean, it rode
it's
really
the frame.
Smooth.
I believe it's the same frame as the Tundra, too.
I think so.
But that new motor, and it's pretty interesting. Like, it's got some power to it.
I know.
I was pretty surprised by it, so.
Well, I mean, and then when I took it, like you said, there's so many features in that thing. It was crazy.
Wild.
And the Platinum isn't even the top model anymore.
No, you get
now,
the Capstone.
The Capstone, yeah.
Yeah.
And I drove a Capstone Tundra is what I was driving. And I took the TRD Pro out for a spin as well.
Yep.
And I thought that the TRD Pro rode a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got bigger tires on it, most likely. And the other one had 22s. The Capstone had 22s on it, so a thinner rubber.
Yep.
And I didn't think it rode as smooth, but I liked the interior of the Capstone way more than the TRD Pro.
Yeah.
But I liked the look of the TRD Pro. If I could mash those two together.
Custom order. Yeah, I don't know if you can or not. But
well, most people, what they're doing is they'll buy like the 1794 edition.
Yep.
And then they'll modify and do like the TRD off-road package
on it.
So then
sense.
You get a little bit of the look of both. But I don't know. I really love what Toyota's doing lately.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that you were talking about possibly you're the next one to get an upgrade on the Toyota.
Yep. I've been I was a Jeep guy. I liked my Jeeps, but they're pretty small.
Yeah.
Just not a lot of room. But my first Tacoma was a 2013 that I bought and fell absolutely in love with the truck. It was perfect for me. Perfect size. I don't necessarily need a full size. It'd be great to have the room for going on trips, but wife's got her new car now, so we got that one squared away.
You got to take the Sequoia because that thing's beautiful.
Yep.
So if you get a new one, are you looking at Tundra?
I'm looking at Tacoma again, but I gotta drive it first. I want to see how it is. It's got that new motor, four-cylinder turbo.
Ooh, it's a four-cylinder now.
Yes,
okay.
Where the Tundras are V6.
Yep, twin turbos.
Twin turbo, so I kind of want to see how it works. I mean, read some stuff online. People like it. They haven't had anything bad to say. And I think the Highlander actually has that motor in it right now.
Oh, okay.
So the motor's been proven. So it does work.
Yep.
I just kind of want to feel it out for myself and see how it is.
Sometimes those new generations, you got to let the 1 year go by. Yeah. That's why I was a little hesitant on that Harley a little bit, because it is the new motor that they put in there. But so far, they haven't really had any issues with the motor. It's more of some like speed wobbles things. Yeah. That's not good to have speed wobbles on a motorcycle.
Not great on a bike.
No. But so far, I mean, I don't drive it enough to worry about that yet, but it is a recall. But yeah, you're right. First generation, you never know.
I always waited. I did that for this is my third one. So I had a 13, a 17, and now a 20. And I waited for, you know, every time they did the new kind of major update on them, I waited a year to get the next year so they could work the bugs out, which I really didn't have any issues with any of them. I mean, a couple, like, you know, recalls for stuff that you take in. One was a shifting problem with the 17. They just took it in, reprogrammed the ECU, done. So it's really the only thing I've ever had with it.
Well, it seems like with Toyota, if you buy a Toyota, it's like you are a Toyota person for life.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's weird.
My mom is that way.
Yeah, I've just had really good luck with them, so it's hard. And the resale is immaculate on those trucks.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. You know, Jeep isn't that bad either.
Jeep's not bad either. They do hold value very well, but it seems like the Tacomas, Tundras, Toyotas in general are pretty favorable.
Yeah, I mean, that midsize truck, though, everyone loves a midsize because, like you said, not everyone needs the full size. Nope. So it depends on what you're doing and what your line of work is, or maybe not. You just need to throw your golf clubs in for you.
Yeah, you don't need a full size. Those go in there a lot.
I know. And that's the next thing I want to get to is you are big into golf.
Huge.
But I want to talk about what's the hat you're wearing, because I just noticed
Waggle.
Where is that company from, Minnesota?
No, I don't believe so. I just saw it online. They got some cool hats, cool designs. They have some Minnesota ones, which is kind of dope.
Well, that's why I saw the logo on the front. And for those who are listening, he's got a Waggle black cap on. It's got, looks like a Minnesota logo on top, but it's green, blue, and a little bit of white on it. So I thought maybe it was a Minnesota company. And I always see it at Shields.
It's kind of cool, too. They have the state outlined as a golf course.
Yeah.
You know, fairway, bunker, green, water hazard. We got that around here.
Yeah, we do. And we've been in them multiple times.
Yes.
So you're big into golf, and we talked. I mean, you could school me on golf, on everything from knowledge-wise. So that's where I want to go on with this next is, when it comes to golfing, where'd your love first come from?
Honestly, it's my buddy whose grandparents – owned this place, Valley Public Supply. He worked at a golf course up in Sauk Center. He moved away at eighth grade, worked at a golf course. He was, every summer he'd come down for a week. And the one summer he came down, he said, "Do you have golf clubs?" And I said, "No. I mean, I do, but they're little kids ones. I haven't golfed in years." And he says, "Well, do you want to go?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I mean, I'd love to go golf. I mean, I've done it. Sure. Yep. I'll just use my dad's. You know, they've been up in the attic for 20 years."
Sure.
So he came down, and him and I went to Cedar Valley. And I think that same week we golfed 4 days, because him and I both were kind of like, this is pretty fun, actually.
Yeah.
So we'd actually take his mom's old, I can't remember what body Mustang it was. Like, it was the Fox body, but the convertible.
Oh,
like a 90, early 90s.
Early 90s, late 80s is what that would have been.
White, with like the white, you know,
rims. Have red interior?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the 90s. It's, or the 80s
so we'd take that a couple times and drive that down. So that was pretty fun. We started doing that. And then, like I said, he went back. I think it was that next year, wintertime, springtime. I bought a set of decent irons, my own. And from there on, I just kept doing it, kept getting a little better here and there, marginal improvements, you know, shed 5 strokes off a year. And after that, I was hooked.
So how old were you at that point?
16.
So you haven't been doing it really that long.
I golfed as a kid a handful of times. That was it.
Okay.
Mom and dad kind of did it here and there, but not every day.
And now I know that if you're going to do anything in the summer, it's going to be golfing over probably anything.
Used to ice fish. Don't do that no more. Used to summer fish. Still got some of my stuff. I can go do it if need be. But
now you just fish the balls out of the pond.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a different type of fishing.
Golf's a little more fun. I don't know. It's rewarding.
So what are you swinging then?
For sticks?
Yep.
I got some Strixons. The wife did me a solid last year. Bought me a whole bag fitting up at Second Swing. So
and where's Second Swing
I got up in the cities.
Okay.
St. Paul. So I got driver, driver through putter, man. So I got the whole bag set up.
Oh, all same brand?
No, I got a little hodgepodge of everything, you know. Okay. Kind of had to hit a few different clubs. What do I got? A Cobra driver. I have Ping 3 wood, hybrid, Strixon irons, Titleist wedges. And I do use a Swag putter, but I do have a Scotty putter as well. But oh, yeah.
Man, you're going like expensive on those putters.
I do. I like collecting them.
It's aren't kind those of a, swags like $500+?
Yeah, some of them can be.
Yeah. But, yeah. Did you have to?
I only have one of them. So all I got is one, and I do use it. I do enjoy it. It's pretty nice.
Is it just as nice as the Scotty?
I think so. Yeah. Nope. I mean, okay. They make them down in Illinois, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a local, you know, company, so to speak.
Sure, yeah. But now that's the place that you told me that they do basically drawings to get head covers, right?
So same they place? They do some lottery stuff. Okay. And on that putter, that's how I won that one, was through a lottery. Still had to pay for the thing, but right. It was a lottery. They only made, I think, 150 of them maybe.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. And then on their head cover site, a lot of my buddies, you know, they know I'm obsessed with it. A couple of their buddies are into it too, so they get it. It's just a cool golf company that they just do limited releases. Yep. If you can get on and check out as quick as possible, you can get something that maybe they make 30 of, you know,
cool.
It's kind of cool to have. So I got a couple covers. I got one for sure. One of one, which is kind of sweet.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What's it look like?
They call it a patchwork. So it's literally three covers stitched into one cover.
Oh, neat.
So, it was actually last week when they had the Phoenix Open. They do their recycled day. So what they do is they take all their old covers, maybe stuff that didn't make it or just, you know, got a blemish somewhere,
yep.
And they cut it and they just patchwork covers together.
Oh, cool.
And then they release them, but they can get pretty expensive, you know, $500 a cover. So I didn't get into any of those this time. But
so you have to put your name in, basically. If your name gets drawn, you have to go and buy it then.
You already bought it.
You don't even have
a choice.
Oh, that's right. You put your credit card in first, don't you?
You have to, yep. You sign up for it and then get your credit card in there. And if you win, you get an email saying, congratulations, you just bought your putter.
Well, you know, that's the kind of company you need, mm-hmm. is when some people want it so badly that you already have your credit card information plugged in. And if you win it, you're already buying
it. It's yours, yep.
And the thing is, though, with that kind of, I don't know, business model, you know what you're about to sell.
You're already going into it with I'm willing to buy it if I hit.
Yep.
You know, so, and I was, didn't care. I'm a big Ryder Cup guy, so red, white, and blue covers, that's my theme. The putter was actually a USA putter theme, so that's why I really
like
it.
That's nice, yeah, America.
Yep.
F yeah.
F yeah.
So you're big into golf, obviously, and do you play tournaments?
For fun. I don't do any single man stuff. I could. I did do last fall. There was one at actually Westfield that I won, and it was the one man scramble.
One man mosh pit?
Yeah. one man mosh pit scramble. Actually, I didn't win it. I placed in it. I played very well. I think I ended up taking sixth, maybe, but. They had it was just one man scramble, hit two balls, two shots every.
That sounds amazing.
I've played a couple of them. They are a lot of fun because I always hit a shot in a scramble. God, I can do better than that.
Yep.
So when you do it by yourself, it's a lot of fun because you might hit a bad shot. And you know you can do better than that.
Basically, a mulligan every shot.
Mulligan every shot. You know, so it's cool. It's pretty fun. It was pretty cool. I think it was like way late September, so it was like maybe 50s out, windy. Yeah. It was cold, so it wasn't great, but it was a good Saturday afternoon.
Was there a prize pot or anything?
It was cash. So I ended up getting, I think I got $40 for placing, and then they actually had the par threes. They had closest to the pin. I won both of them.
Oh, nice.
So I got $20 each for that, I think it was.
Were you paired up with someone then?
You just went with a group of three or four.
Oh, and then so basically there's like eight shots out there, six to eight shots out there. Okay.
Yeah, the group I played with, Tuna Banneke. I'm not sure if you know Tuna.
Yep.
If you know Tuna. So I was with him, and then another gentleman from Rolling Stone, Speltz, Tom.
Okay.
Like Tom Speltz, I think, if I remember right. So I was with them guys. Good casual group. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Laid back golf. couple swear words here and there, you know, but
there always is.
Yeah, right.
Always swear words.
Yep.
So what did you end up shooting? Were you under par, over par?
I was under par.
Under par?
I think the first nine, I think I went 2 under. And then the second nine, I believe I went 6 under. I think I was 8 under for the
tournament. What won it? Do you remember?
14.
Ooh.
It was handicap based too.
Oh, so, okay.
You know, you got some strokes in there. I think I only got 2 strokes. So I'm kind of limited there, you know.
Sure.
Where some others are getting 14, but it keeps it fair.
Yeah. Well, you kind of have to. And that was at Westfield?
That was at Westfield.
So for those who don't know, Westfield's our kind of our local public course here. Not tough, not easy, just kind of right in the middle. Easy one to go play, and it's pretty reasonably priced, I would say. But nowadays, everything's kind of reasonably priced, it seems. There's always a special going on. Cart, golf, burger for $60 or whatever it might be.
You can find those on the weekend all around, which is nice.
What's one of your favorite courses you've ever played at? Do you have a favorite?
I mean, I have some top favorites. Just last year, I went and played TPC Blaine. So
nice.
I went the 3M Open when they have that. I was fortunate enough to... my buddy John was able to get 4 rounds on there because he works for 3M. So
cool.
He got the hookup from, I think, the event coordinator for the tournament. He just kind of said, hey, I'd love to play here sometime. He was working it. She goes, I maybe can get you on sometime, you know, when it's a little bit slower. So we ended up going in like mid-September.
Oh,
and
awesome.
The course was awesome. I mean, it's fantastic when you can play a tour course. It's pretty cool. And earlier that year, I actually went and played TPC Deer Run down in Illinois. So where they have the John Deere Classic. That was fun, too. It's a whole different category of golf.
Oh, I know.
It's immaculate. You know, there's not a blade of grass out of place. I mean, they have the money to fund it, though. That's the big thing. So those were, I mean, two really fun courses. Lasonia, Green Lake, Wisconsin.
Okay, I don't know that
one. It's a top 100 course. Pretty old course. Hole 7, I believe, is one of their signature holes. It actually has two old train cars buried underneath the green to get at the elevation.
Oh, cool.
So it's a pretty old course, pretty cool, and it's like number 87 or 88 when I played it in the U.S. So it's a pretty cool track.
What does it? Did you have to pay? I assume.
Yes.
Is it quite spendy or not as bad as one might think?
Reasonable. I want to say, I believe it was, they have two courses. So they have the Lasonia Lynx and then the Woodlands. The Woodlands reminds me a lot of like Cedar Valley and Bridges kind of blended together.
Okay.
And then the Lynx is, I mean, it's a Lynx style course.
I like those.
They're fun. Challenging if you haven't played them in a while and you're used to playing like, you know, the courses around here. Where if you putt and your ball rolls off, you know, off the green, it's going to stop in the rough 3 feet, not go down 20 feet.
I didn't think about that.
I do like that because it keeps it fun, challenging, you know, different way to mindset to play golf. But that one was pretty fun. I think they had a package deal. It was like $150 to play same day. It was $150, but you played both courses. So we played the Lynx in the morning and the Woodlands in the afternoon. So
that's reasonable.
That was pretty fun. No, it wasn't bad at all.
Is there carts or did you have to walk?
There's carts.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you have to do like the 90-degree rule or
matter? It was mid-summer, Memorial Day weekend, so it wasn't too bad. It was dry out.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun because probably the nicest place I've ever played at was Northern Bay up by Wisconsin Dells area. It was for my bachelor party. Yep. And that was probably the nicest one I ever played at, other than the one time when I was in golf for my first year of college. I played and we went to Burlington, Iowa, and we played at Spirit Hollow, it's called. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Actually, I think I have that on my bucket list to play.
Okay. Well, we had a tournament there and it was something else. Couldn't break 90.
I believe that's it. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Like when you're in the rough, it's not a rough, and I've said this before, it's not like, just longer grass. No, it's thick,
it's
longer grass.
Thick.
And then there's another one on top of that next to it that's even worse.
Yeah.
So
no, it's brutal. Those courses they're tough. 3M was, if you were in the fairway, you were safe.
Yeah.
I mean, that rough was 4 or 5 inches thick. I mean, that wasn't even tournament time. It was end of the year, but it was thick.
Yeah.
But the greens were immaculate. The fairways were like a highway. I mean, your ball rolled for days.
Sure. The greens stick.
Yeah, stick. And when you hit your line, they rolled perfectly. So it was pretty cool. this coming up May, I believe it is, we're going to go play a buddy Joe of mine. He's part of a group, No Laying Up golf group he got into.
Yep, okay.
He wanted me to get into it. It's something. It's pretty cool. You go around and play all these other courses. It's actually like tournament based too. So it's handicap based. You meet a bunch of people, but they have different sections. You know, so like Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Dakotas, possibly. So they play in the area. So I played for one of them that a guy brought to Cedar Valley, and we had to play. I think it was the front nine, and then play the monster.
Yeah,
and I played like absolute trash on the monster, wasn't even coming close, but my buddy Joe actually took first, so he qualified to get to the next tournament, which if I remember right, that one was up in the cities at Stone Ridge, which I played there like a month before he had to. That course is a really fun course. It's built in like early 2000s, I think.
All right,
or maybe even late. It's not a very old course, but a very nice course, $120. They have carts out. It's a link style course, but very very fun. It's in, I believe, Hudson.
Do you consider Trempealeau Mountain like a link style course?
Kind of.
I mean, the closest we have.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say we have much else closer.
I'd say that's probably the closest. The only other one, like the Jewel, they have a couple holes that are set up link style.
Okay.
But, you know, they're woodlands kind. I mean, I call them like a semi. A little bit of both. But Trempealeau, they still have the rough, you know, around the greens. So it's set up as a link style with, you know, just holes back and forth.
Yep.
But not really the greens condition, I would call it.
Yeah, and so I've never played the Jewel, and everyone tells me that's just an amazing course. Go. Okay.
It's fantastic.
I'll be waiting for my
phone call. Literally... Not, Bridges love it. Home course, been there for 9 years or something.
Sure,
love that course. Jewel, it's just different, you know. Really big, wide open. The place is huge. Very nice though. I mean, they keep it really, really, you know, manicured. It's the Bridges finally got paved cart paths. When you go to the Jewel, they already had that, so it was like driving on a highway.
Oh,
it
was nice.
Yeah, nice, super nice. So, really cool course. We'll go play it, and reasonable too. I think it's like $80.
Oh, that's not bad with cart too.
With cart, $80. It's usually like $84. I think the last time I played with cart, 18 holes and a bag of range balls.
Oh, that's not bad at all. I mean, I remember when that was first being built. I was like, I want to say maybe in like late 90s. I remember all the hype was around that because I think Hale Irwin was...
He was the designer of it,
yep. Yeah. I asked that to one of my last previous guests. I can't remember who it was, but they weren't sure, and so he just kind of confirmed that. Because my buddy, I think his mom was going to work for the accounting portion of that, and I think that's how I got to understand this course was coming. But I think it was like 99 or somewhere in that area is when it was being designed.
I don't know when it was designed or built, but I mean, it was... Yeah,
it's Hale Irwin. Old.
Nope, and then he also designed another, they call it a sister course, and I don't know how accurate that is, but someone had mentioned it was a sister course, and they call it the Emerald, I think.
Oh, okay.
And that's up in the cities.
Oh.
Appleton, possibly? Somewhere up that way. And I kind of want to go play that because it's the same designer, you know, just to see what the differences are, how comparable they are. It'd be kind of fun.
I got to crack another one here right by the mic. It's the sound of summer being cracked.
But anyway, my buddy Joe, I didn't finish. So he's been doing this golf thing, kind of traveling around to different courses here and there.
And what's it called again?
No Laying Up. Okay. Is kind of what it's called. It's a golf group thing you can join. Anyone can join it too. It's handicap based.
All right.
But he played in Nebraska at a course that recently just started, I think, in like 2019 or 2020. So we're going to go out in May and go play this course, and it's, God darn it, I can't remember the name of it.
You look it up.
I'm drawing a blank, and I shouldn't be.
You have notes on your phone for courses you're going to play?
I do have a bucket list.
I love that.
I gotta.
How many courses do you think you have on there that you want to go to?
On my phone?
Yeah.
Quite a few.
Okay.
I got a lot of, I mean, there's obviously like there's the courses for, you know, Pebble Beach.
Well, yeah.
You know, a lot of Minnesota ones, but Dakota Ridge, that's like one of the top three in Minnesota to play.
All right.
Up by Duluth area. Giants okay. Ridge, same thing. Fortune Bay, and you know, I got a Burl Oaks on there too. There's a bunch of courses I just want to go play. But the one that's in Nebraska is called Landmand.
Okay.
And my buddy Joe played that, and he's telling me all about it. Pitchers. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's literally a field. You're surrounded by cornfields.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and he says they do tee times once a year. So on December 31st, I think it was, they release their tee time sheet for the year.
And they fill up that fast.
Joe logged in.
Yeah.
Got a tee time. We kind of talked, you know, like pick days. Pick a weekday. I don't care. We're going to go do this, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to miss out because he said it's a blast. Because when the No Lane Up team, they like basically got the whole course. So he was able to play that way. Otherwise, you got to get a tee time at the beginning of the year. And that's the only time you can play it.
Ooh.
So he knew about it, waited on the list, the notification, got it, and booked it for, I think, like May 23rd, 24th, something like that, Thursday, Friday. Well, we're going to go play another course on the way back somewhere, either in Iowa or maybe in Nebraska still, just another course. But
where about in Nebraska is it?
Don't even know. It's not. It's like about a six-hour drive.
Okay. So it's probably about Omaha, I would say, because my buddy Hurley's from that, and he takes him about 5 hours to get to Lincoln, Omaha area. Yeah. So it's probably around there somewhere.
Near there. I can't remember the city it's in. But, yeah, we're going to go do that in May, so that'll be kind of fun.
And the tee times fill up, like, immediately?
So, let's see. So I think he said it was a half hour. They're all gone.
Oh, that's like swag golf.
So, yeah, it is. Well, they actually had a little more time on that, actually, yeah, to get a tee time.
Half hour.
Usually it's 30 seconds, and it's gone. But, yeah, he got it, and then he said he kept looking on there, and he said after a half hour, everything was sold out.
So, wow, that must be nuts that you could just have a course that good that people will travel to no matter what the hell the tee time is.
And they do a very long between, usually it's like a 7 minute rule. That's, you know, you're 7 minutes next. I think he said it was 25 minutes or 15 minutes between groups.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of nice to take it all in and enjoy, because he said there's a lot of greens where, one in particular, he mentioned that there's a big back hill behind it, and one of his playing partners hit a shot and went, oh no, sit down. And he flew the green, but he hit the hill and it rolled all the way back down to the green. Like, so he said, like, when he was out there, they would, you know, someone would have a putt and they're like, oh man, I want to go try that. So he's like, they're people messing around a little bit, taking advantage of the course and the time.
Yeah.
Because you're not rushed. So he goes, you know, you just go out and hit some shots that you're probably not going to hit on another course.
It's pretty cool. That one called again?
Landmand. Yep.
Okay, I'm going to look that one up because I've never even heard of it before.
It's new, very new. It's less than 5 years old, I believe. Okay. They held, I think it was a, I don't know if it was a web.com or they held some tournament like early, like usually it's years before you get a NCAA or, you know, a web.com tournament.
Yep.
In their second year, they got one. That's how good the course is. It's pretty cool course.
Impressive. Now, going back to your start of golf, question I have for you, for anyone that's getting into the sport of golf, we all know sports aren't cheap. This is another one that's definitely not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say the first step to getting into golf? What would you say, this is what you should go and do right away if you're thinking about getting into golf? What would you suggest someone do? Get clubs, get lessons?
I'd go get clubs. I'd go to a garage sale, find something that's from, like, you know, the 2000s. You know, it doesn't need to be anything crazy. Go spend $50 on someone's old bag. It'll work.
Yep.
At least you can try it to see if you like it.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of people that just, I don't like it. Yeah. And that's fine. It's fair. It's how it works.
Yeah.
Or it's fun, but I suck. I'm not doing it. But everyone sucked. I remember when I was shooting 121, you know, like that's what I shot.
No wonder you're able to shave five strokes off a year.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I never did lessons, and I think that actually would be a good thing to do, is if you actually do like it, go sign up and try to get a lesson somewhere to get some better fundamentals down. Because it's a lot different than baseball. You played softball, baseball. It's a different swing.
It certainly is.
And you kind of need to get the fundamentals down of that. And, you know, everyone wants to crank at 300 yards. You don't need to. You can hit it 250, 225. It's just get good at your wedges, your irons, and your putter.
That is true, because if you go and watch some of the older guys, they're just plucking it down there a little over 200 yards.
And, they can shoot 81 every single day of the week. You know what I mean?
And so, for those who aren't maybe into golf or you're new to golf, shooting par is what you're trying to do. That's the whole thing. So they always say, don't play the person, play the course.
You got to play the course.
And if you take your eye off of that, sometimes you'll look at someone else and go, oh, they shanked a shot. I'm good. Now if I accidentally shank a shot, and what do you next? You shank the shot. Now right. It's even worse, possibly. So you're trying to hit par. Yep. And for those who don't know, 72 is usually standard for par of a course, 18 holes that is. And shooting in the 80s or low 80s is pretty good, especially if you're not a professional.
Absolutely.
I mean, even watch those professionals. Sometimes they're shooting sky-high numbers too. Not like they're trying to do that.
No, but it happens.
Golf is a different breed. Every course is different.
I have my good rounds, my bad rounds, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty consistent. I shoot like mid to high 70s on a regular basis. But I have also been shooting those for the last couple of years. Getting fitted for clubs actually has been a game changer. Actually, I dropped 2 strokes just by getting fitted.
Yep.
The clubs are kind of for you, dialed in for you, your swing, everything, your launch. I mean, the numbers that the guy gave me blew my mind at how much goes into just hitting a golf ball.
Yeah.
So the numbers are really cool that, you know, from this iron to this iron, I gained 10 yards and also 15 feet of height. And I was like, really? They're like damn near the same thing. How?
Yep.
It's in the shaft. A lot of the club head helps, definitely, but a lot of your technology is in the shaft.
Oh.
That's what can help you slice the ball, hook the ball, keep it straight, keep it high, keep it low. A lot of that's in there. And then obviously the club head is more forgiving or not, if you're hitting a blade or not. But the shafts are a very critical thing to get. So someone new getting into it, you know, find something that, you know, it's cheap, see if you like it. And I would suggest getting fitted. It's expensive, but you can have your clubs for 5-10 years and do it again. So really upfront investments a lot, but if you get fitted and then go get lessons, you could be pretty good. I mean, it'll work. It's the reason I like it so much, it's a rewarding game.
Yeah, it can be.
It's humbling.
Yeah, that too.
And also it's I'll say relaxing for me. Like, I enjoy it. Like,
oh, yeah.
It gets frustrating, but it's a lot of fun because it's just the unbeatable game. I'm out there every time trying to, you know, beat my lowest score, beat yesterday's round, just those once-in-a-lifetime shots, getting an albatross, getting a hole-in-one. That's what's fun.
So, tell everyone what an albatross is real quick.
So an albatross is holing out on a par 5 and 2.
Okay, so 2 shots on the par 5. For those who don't know, the way golf works is you are trying to get on the green, usually on a par 5, in 3 shots, and then you're supposed to 2-putt in for par. Well, an albatross is getting in on 2, so basically you have to have a very nice drive, an amazing second shot, and it goes in the hole for a 2 instead of a 5, because 5 is the par what you're supposed to shoot. If you can shoot 3 strokes less than that, it's amazing.
Yep, better than a hole-in-one, actually.
Have you had a hole-in-one yet?
Nope.
Nope, neither have
I. Come close.
You're close?
Come close a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
No albatross either?
No albatross.
Okay.
Never came close on one of them. I mean, I was in a group, actually, Ryan Myers, owner of Pack and Mail.
Okay.
I played in a tournament with him and Brett Schmidt and Tom Schmidt. And it was, I think it was maybe the Winona Radio one, if I remember right.
Was it this past summer?
No, they have it every year. But
no, I know that, but what you're about the story, I feel like you told me this.
I think it was 2 years ago, okay. If I remember right. And Ryan, it was hole 5 at Bridges, and he hit his drive.
Yep.
Ended up being a really good drive. So we took his drive. We all hit our second shots. He hit his second shot, and I just remember looking. We were going over club choices, and I can't remember what we were out, but he's like, I'm going to go 9-iron. And I was like, 9-iron? I go, I don't think you're going to get there. I don't think that's enough, man. We're out quite a ways yet. I said, and uphill. He goes, oh, you're right, uphill. I said, take it 8. It will be on the green at least. Don't be short in the bunker, because it was a front pin.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right. And he hit, and he barely cleared the tree branch by like an inch. And he directly at the hole, and I thought, that's good. That's an eagle right there, man. We're driving up, and he's in the other cart behind, and all of a sudden I went, dude, you're in. No, I'm not. I went, you're in the hole. You just dunked that. And he goes, No way.
That's sweet.
Go up there, Albatross. And I mean, so he soloed it in a tournament.
That's awesome.
So that's pretty cool.
But you're right. That is more impressive because of the fact that
usually you're further away.
Way further away. Yep. Usually at least 200 plus.
Yep.
And most of our par fives around here are maybe 150 to 170 away.
Yeah.
Par threes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Par fives, yeah. We have some shorter ones, but I know that one's a dog leg left.
Yeah.
And there is a bunker in the front.
I believe
so
we
right.
were like 160 out, if I remember right. Yeah. Like it was a really good drive, but we were still 160 or 150 out, and I was just like, I don't think a nine's going to get there, man, because I'm not hitting a nine. Like, I know I'm not being short on this one and going in the bunker in a scramble.
Right, yeah, and there's bunkers right in the front right of that green.
And that's right where the pin was.
It's usually where those put it, yep.
Oh, yeah.
So the other thing I love about golf, and this is just me, and you said it's relaxing for you, and I agree with that because my dad would say the opposite. It's stressful for him. It's just annoying, and everyone's different. And I feel like you got that love-hate. It's either you, mm-hmm. it's relaxing or it's not. And I love the atmosphere that comes around the golf.
Yep.
I don't know what it is. It's just usually when you play, obviously, it's a beautiful day out for the most part. You don't usually go play on a crappy day.
Right.
So everything looks green. It looks great. It's kind of ritzier, I would say, which I love that. And I am a bad birdie fan.
Yep.
And I'm the person that if I were to go to a tournament before, I'd be wearing a cutoff shirt and just some basketball shorts because I just like having room to move. But I found with this company that their polos are just amazing and comfortable, and I can move easy in these ones. So I don't know. So I wore Bad Birdie because I knew we were going to talk about golf here. This is my favorite golf company that's out there right now, and I think they're based out of Arizona. But I love this. Going over to you, what is like if you're going out in the golf course, what's that one outfit? This is what I'm wearing today.
Roback polo.
Okay.
Huge fan. Buddy Joe got me hooked on them. He bought one time. They're expensive. They're like $90 a piece. But they do have some sales here and there. They have the longest day of the year sale, so you get 20% off. So that's usually when I stock up and buy like four or five.
All right.
But I got quite a fleet now. Been rocking them for a couple years, but they're just breathable, wicking. I mean, Under Armour was awesome. This is 10 times better.
Really?
The fabric, I mean, there's no tags in the crap, no uncomfortable spots.
Sure.
I mean, you feel like you're wearing nothing.
That's the best feel.
Pretty nice. So I'm a big fan of Roback polos. I still got to go with Under Armour's pants.
Okay.
I'm a pants golfer. I'm
a shorts golfer.
I'm a pants golfer. Under Armour makes some nice pants. Some of them they do like, I think it's called like their heat gear. So there's actually like little tiny holes in the material.
Sure.
It's basically like wear like breathable pants. So
Okay. Everyone
gives me shit for it. Everyone I golf with, it'll be 90 degrees. I'm wearing pants. I just have done it. I spent a lot of time in the woods finding golf balls when I first started. And you weren't doing it with shorts. I mean, I was on jeans back then. So it kind of became a habit then, you know. And plus, you see it on TV. It's pants.
Yep.
It's polo, you know, kind of.
Well, I mean, except for now, I see Liv now. They
can change it, yeah.
Pretty relaxed.
PGA is still polo, pants.
Yep.
Me personally, I don't care. I don't care if it's pants or shorts. Doesn't matter to me.
Yep.
It's golf. That's what you're there watching anyway, not mm-hmm. if someone's, you know, not Phil's calves. Apparently, the whole world was, though.
They were watching his calves?
His calves are massive.
Oh,
yeah, you got to look it up.
I will have to
look don't tell Stephanie.
She won't listen to this, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So shirt, you got Roback, is that what it's called?
Roback, yep.
Under Armour pants. What do we got for the cleats?
Got some Jordans.
All right.
I'm a fan. Recently, I just got some Echoes.
ECO?
Yeah.
Those ones?
ECCO.
ECCO, okay.
Got some of those. The Boas, just super comfortable. I tried them out, and I actually really like those too, so I bought a second pair. But I do have some Jordans as well.
And the Boas are where you
just twist
it and it tightens up. Okay,
yep. That's
how the snowboarding boots are too for me.
Super comfortable, breathable too, but they're also Gore-Tex, which is wild. So they're waterproof, which is nice.
That is nice.
Early morning rounds when it's dewy. I've had a couple pairs where, you know, your toes
soaked.
Are just soggy and it's miserable.
You like the Jordan ones too? Because I have the same ones.
I don't mind. Yeah, the Jordan 12s.
Yeah,
I also have the, I believe they're the four, sixes or fours? Fours maybe?
Oh, you bought those too?
I have those. Those are kind of nice.
Oh, those are sweet.
I like those better than
what
12s.
Color are they?
Gray.
Gray? Okay.
Yep. So
that's
I like those, I think, better than the 12s personally.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
See, I I hadn't, you know, my club, I was telling you my club situation. I had mine from 99
yeah.
until last summer when I finally upgraded after 23 years. And so I also upgraded my shoes because they were at least 10 years old, I would say. And I went with the Jordans as well. I thought they were just cool looking.
They're but comfy.
They are comfy. And the other thing is they're leather.
Yeah.
So they should be pretty waterproof.
Very.
But also they're very, I guess for me, it's a low top. So it's more supportive than I was expecting.
Yeah.
And I just love them. I think they're fantastic looking. I get crap for it all the time. Yeah. People are like, oh, I got Jordans on in the golf course. I'm like, eh.
Well, yeah.
That's what I like.
Try them out. Yeah. They're comfortable. Like they're kind of big and bulky.
Yeah.
Not the 12s. The 4s I got are just, they feel like I'm wearing moon boots, but they are comfortable.
Really?
They are comfortable. Like so much support. Those are like a little bit more of the high top, you know?
Yep.
Super comfortable though. Like I didn't know if I was going to be a fan, and I was a fan, but I got those Echoes, and they're super lightweight, like I said, and they're spikeless. Usually Ooh. I'm a spike guy,
yeah.
and I always have been, but I gave these a shot just to try them out. I haven't slipped. Like, they've worked out really well.
I see that a lot nowadays, spikeless, which seems yep. awesome too. And so then what are you wearing for gloves? Or gloves?
I usually like the FootJoys.
I do too.
Or the Titleist Permasoft. That's been a go-to.
Oh, those are good ones too.
They don't last long though.
It's I like know.
Once a month. I mean, I get a lot of rounds of golfing, so
yeah.
I mean, I'll you know, usually my goal is to try to hit 50 rounds, just individual rounds, tournaments. I don't count those. Wife always goes, oh, come on, you've golfed more than 50 times. I go, well, yeah, tournaments.
Yeah.
Those are scrambles. That's a team
that's
thing.
That's where I make my living, honey.
That's a team's thing, yeah. I go, I'm just talking solo rounds, so I usually get, like, you know, probably around 65, 70 golf rounds in a year.
Oh, that's quite a bit. That's way more than me. I'm maybe at a dozen at best, and that's yeah. tournaments.
Yeah,
tournaments.
I know the first year I got a membership, I was second highest for rounds played, and it was 151 rounds.
Woo!
That was no kid, and the wife worked three jobs, so I had nothing but time.
And your job was just to be a great golfer?
Yep, yep. It was go to work and then go golf after work every single day. The gentleman, there was a gentleman there that had 200 rounds.
Whoa.
He was a retired guy that worked, I think, for Winona State Maintenance or something. His name was Richard. But he had like 200 rounds.
Is that the Bridges?
Yeah, is that the Bridges.
Oh, man. He yeah. got his membership worth.
Oh, yeah. He's retired. So, I mean, I'd see him out there all the time. Played a yep. couple rounds with him. He'd play usually two times a day. And he was in his late 60s.
Like 218 rounds a day?
Yeah.
Oh, that's 36 holes.
Yeah, he played 36 holes a day. He early morning, then he'd do afternoon. And wow. Every day he was out there. And finally someone said, what are you trying to do, catch up to Richard? And I said, catch up to Richard with what? Rounds played. I go, well, what's he at? And they told me, like, I'm not going to catch that. Are you nuts? I got like a month left of golf, and he's at like, you know, it was like 180 or something at the time, and I had like 140, I think. I was like, I'm not catching that.
Yeah.
I ended up getting 151, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. I used to do like 18 holes a day when I was younger, and I thought that was a lot, but no, not near that.
No.
18 and 18, that's a lot a day.
No, do a 36-hole day.
That's like a full-time job almost.
Yeah.
If you're by yourself, you probably get done in 3 hours.
If you're by yourself and there's no one out there, piece of cake. But you're going to – I mean, I'll go do 36 here and there if it's a Monday and I have off and I just want to go do something and it's yep. dead out, I'll go do it. I can get done in like 2 hours and 15 minutes in a cart by myself. So it's not terrible. But if I just went back-to-back, did it again, I'd be pretty gassed on that last nine.
Yeah, I would say
you
so.
Know?
Some people look at it and they're like, golf, that ain't that hard. But it does yeah. gas you after a while. All those swings just
yep.
– and then staying accurate or consistent is the hardest part about golf.
Right.
I mean, the ball's not even moving.
No.
But you, like you said, you got to play the course, and trying to play the course is not as easy as it sounds,
no.
but being consistent. Because like you were saying with the baseball, you know, you go out there and play softball, baseball, you're just trying to hit the piss out of the ball, mm-hmm. basically. This, you're trying to aim the ball where
you don't
you
care
want
left
it.
Or right.
Yeah.
You just want to hit the shit out of it and
yep.
get over the fence.
That's exactly it.
Not every hole goes left, no, which sucks.
Right.
So trying to be able to work the ball can help. It's not easy to try to teach someone. You know, someone like, well, how do you hit a cut? And I was never taught, never had lessons. I just learned, watch videos, listen.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand the fundamental of swinging inside or outside.
Yep.
So I can hit a cut, I can hit a draw. Does it happen all the time on command? No, but for the most part, it does.
It does something.
It does usually what I want.
Sure. You know,
but I'm not a professional by any means, so I'll miss. But the other thing, too, is just I kind of tell people when they first start golfing is just whatever your stock shot is, stick with it. Don't change nothing.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm over here. Because when you miss on a golf course and you miss to the right, it's really easy for you to get out of trouble because you just aim left if your ball misses right.
Yeah, right.
Same if you miss left. It's if you miss right, but then you miss left. That's going to be your hard part because then you're taking on trees or, you know, you're punching out. So usually, like, your misses aren't a bad thing. You're usually, if your miss is what your miss should be, right or left, and you're on that side, it's easy for you to hit the next shot because your miss, you know, your fairway's open, so to speak.
Yeah, so, I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's kind of like that's how that works. It's just you're in trouble when you crisscross and do the opposite.
Sure.
That's when people
struggle.
Trying to
overcorrect.
Yep. But I just say stick with your standard shot. Like everyone has a standard shot, whether you know it or not. You go out and hit a ball.
Yep.
It's like I have a standard little baby draw. That's my standard shot. That's what I have always had, and I probably some of it from baseball. But I didn't play baseball right up leading to golf. I played baseball, was done for probably, I don't know, 8 years or something, middle school, whatever it was, and then just got into golf. So, like, I had a swing, and it might have been semi-baseball swing, but it worked out.
Okay,
so
okay.
I got you know, standard little draw. Yep. Buddy Joe, you know, he's got a nice little butter fade, we call it. This guy can smash the ball, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah. What's your biggest struggle right now in golf? Like, if you go out in the summer, like, man, I just can't overcome fill in the blank. I'll tell you what mine is right now. Mine is always trying not to use too much right hand because I'm like you where I naturally have a draw to it.
Yep.
But I don't want it to be a hook. And that happens sometimes if
baseball
I'm going
players, man.
I know.
That's what it is.
And I play softball like three nights a week.
Yep.
So that's my biggest thing is always the right hand, too much right hand coming through.
Yep.
It used to be a slice, but then I started tightening up my grip. And when you start tightening up your grip, that's when things just go bad.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I know that those people have those fat shafts or those fat grips on the putters, so they don't do that, those soft touches or whatever they're by. But anyways, that would be my big struggle right now. Like when I go out, don't hook it, don't hook it, don't hook it.
Right.
Because you don't get any distance anyways. I'd rather slice it because at least I'm going to get a little bit more distance out of it. But that'd be my biggest struggle. I don't know what yours is.
Mine is more or less just just distance. I see a number and I usually have a tendency to kind of throttle off a little bit.
Okay.
Because there's nothing worse than being long, like on a green and short side. Like if it's a front pin, I don't care if I'm a little long. I'm going to swing full because if it's a front pin, I can be mid green. I'm on the green. I can putt back.
Sure.
But when it's a deep pin, my biggest thing is either A, not giving it enough, or B, giving too much. But usually I'm always short because I'm like, well, I'm not going deep. Well, then I'm at the front of the green and I have a 50-foot putt. Then I just look back from like, I was 125 yards out. This is an easy shot for me. And I throttle back, and that's probably what I shouldn't do. I should go and do it and just go for it.
Yeah, just play your game.
I should step on it and just do it and see what happens, I guess. I mean, I could do it a couple of rounds and it ain't gonna hurt nothing.
No, you know, you're not playing a tournament when you're going out and playing by yourself. That's time to work on all those fun things as well. So I got a buddy of mine brought me a shot ski, or he called it a brew ski. You want to do a shot with our beers off of it? All right. When you push this, just be careful with the cord so it doesn't come undone. For those who are watching, you'll notice that this looks familiar from about two episodes ago, and he made this or bought it for me, Justin Edwards,
my
best man at my wedding. So he's like, I saw this on some movie, and I think it's also on Out Cold. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
There's like four of them doing it, though.
Yeah, it's like off of a ski a snowboard or something like that. So this is kind of similar. So as we flip it up, the camera's going to see the brewski on the bottom. He got this for me as a gift for the podcast just starting out. So
let's
try to take our shot here. I'll move that. All right. The old shot ski off the brewski.
Worked good.
All right, back to it. So I had a question from one of my listeners.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to the softball, baseball, and it comes from a guy named Ryan Meyer, not the guy from that you're talking about. My Ryan Meyer. He's from Holman, and he wants to know who's going to have the most home runs in softball this year. And I'd like to think it's me, but this guy mashes the hell out of a ball. And he beat me the last 2 years. I think 3 years ago I beat him on the very final swing of the season. It went over. I think I had 15 that season. He had 14, but last year he was just killing the ball. So, Ryan, I have to tip my hat off to you. You're probably going to win it. But I'll come in second and still talking as much smack as possible. Still doing it, though. So, lastly, I want to get into with you because we've already been going for an hour. Doesn't seem like it's been that much. But
it's like garage beers, man.
We
do it for six.
We do that for six. This is nothing.
Yeah.
So what do you do for work then? Because I know where you work, but I don't know specifically what you do. And sometimes you have funky hours, and that was kind of where we were trying to make a time for you to come here and do this. And you're like, oh, if I don't work, and I know you kind of sometimes have a weird hour, so I always try to get those who have somewhat goofy hours to come on first if possible. Yeah. So first, where do you work at?
Peerless Industrial Group.
Okay.
I've been there, April will be 14 years. So,
wow, you've been there a while.
Yeah. So I started entry level, needing a job in 09 was kind of shitty, you know.
It wasn't a great time.
So, you know, I kind of applied a lot of places just to get something. I went to school for carpentry. Did that for a year, and then that job went under. So got to find something. Reached out to a couple people, and they're like, "Oh no, don't need anyone." So applied at Peerless Chain, and got a call back. Come in for an interview. Yep, went in, got hired for general production. Started on the floor. I think it was probably about 9 months. I think somewhere in there, 6-9 months. Entry level. Then I went into quality control for 3 years, did that, and then they had a production supervisor spot open up, so applied for that, made it to the last interview, got it. I've been doing that ever since, so 11 years.
Oh wow. I didn't realize you were there for so long.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Peerless, first let's go back, what does Peerless do? What is
steel chain overhead chain, you know, cargo tie-down chain. We do a lot of, you know, government tie-down chain, aircraft carrier tie-downs.
Okay.
Kind of cool to see a jet with our chain strapped down.
Tanks. Can you tell the difference? Like, if you see something, you're like, that was made Peerless.
Yeah, we have a couple patents. So we have one that's called a one-way chain.
Okay.
And the way the ratchet works, the chain is almost shaped like a pear.
All right.
So that was one of ours for aircraft carrier tie-downs, so it's pretty cool.
Okay,
so we have our Hallmark stamped on it and stuff. So I don't know if she really notices. I don't think she gets annoyed, but anytime we're out and about and I see chain, I got to go look at it. I don't be weird about it, but I want to see if that's ours.
Yeah, right. And so you know where you're looking
for. I go take a peek at it and see if it's our chain or not. But it's a pretty cool process. I mean, we're on Modern Marvels. We actually had a segment on that, so you can actually watch and see. And, you know, you still be in there 14 years looking at the machines and making chain. It's such a medieval thing, you know.
Right.
And it's still been made the same way for, you know, 50 years now. But it's just very impressive, the size of the machine to make quarter-inch size chain.
Sure.
It's a massive machine, you know. It's crazy. So I still every once in a while go up and just get memorized watching a machine make chain links. It's pretty cool.
So you can actually there was a segment on Modern Marvels,
if you go to our website, it's on there.
Oh, okay.
So you can see the chain process.
For those who are not familiar, Winona is really big for a company named Fastenal, but there's also other companies within that are really big, and Peerless, I would say, is one of the, maybe the second biggest in town, maybe?
It's got to be up there, yeah.
It's got to be right up there, I know, and then the other one's probably RTP or something.
I'd say it's probably Fastenal. Well, Fastenal, RTP, Peerless, I mean, it's up top five for sure.
So did you think, when you first got this, when you first got this job, did you think you're going to be there for this long, or were you just
I had no clue, honestly.
Because you said you were a carpentry first, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Went to school for carpentry, and I mean, I ended up really liking it. It was great.
Yep.
I didn't mind it. You know, I worked. We did the swing shifts back then.
A swing shift?
So 2 weeks first, 2 weeks second, 2 week third.
Oh, so you had to go on.
You had to rotate, which I didn't mind it because I mean, we switched now back years years back now where it's, you know, shift by seniority. So the longer you've been there, you get the cream of the crop.
Oh, sure.
You get the shift premium, you call it, or the premium shift. So take your pick. You get more to be on second and third. You get less to be on day shift.
Gotcha.
So, okay. You know, I mean, there's guys that they prefer the second or third shift.
Yeah,
you know?
I couldn't do second shift because isn't that like 11 to 7?
I did not like second shift.
I could. I
3 to 11.
3 to 11. There you go.
Is second shift, but 11 p.m., 7 a.m. is night shift.
There you go. There you go. And I did that at a hotel one time, and I was like, oh, this isn't bad, because then when I'm sleeping, everyone else is already at work, so it's kind of the same thing. It's just tougher to get bed. But it's like that second shift.
You miss out on a lot, I think, I feel like personally. Too,
because what are you going to do when you get done? People are going to bed.
Done at 11. People are already been in bed, and it's like, well, yeah. A, if you go to bed, you can get up at 6, 7 o'clock, still have a full day, you know, before, which is nice. My problem was I was like, well, I got nothing to do. All my other friends are at work. I got nothing going on when I'm on second shift.
Right.
So I just stay up, watch, you know, movies, TV till 1, 2 in the morning. Well, crap, I don't really like this. And then you sleep till, you know, 10. Oh, wake up, make lunch, go to work.
Yeah.
Third shift, I actually enjoyed the crap out of third shift.
Yeah.
Going in at, you know, 11 o'clock at night, getting done at 7 a.m., picking what you want to do, either have your morning to sleep, your morning to go do something, your evening. I loved it. It worked great.
Yeah. That's not bad. That's not bad. Second shift to me would be the one they had to pay me the most for.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't third usually get the most pay?
Ours pays the same, but usually third is a little bit more, yeah.
So when you first started, what was your day-to-day life like there?
Cut and chain, man.
Cut and chain.
Cut and chain, assembling hooks, you name it.
All right.
Putting up drum stock.
Okay. So, yeah. Now what's your days look like? What's your title now?
So I'm a senior production supervisor. So okay. I actually run the secondary operations at Peerless. And then another gentleman, Jason, runs the first half of operations of the cleaning of the rod, the wire forming, and the chain making. So I own all the secondary stuff of assembly, plating, things of that nature.
Okay.
So I mean, there's a lot going on, man. We're busy.
Oh, I bet. Everyone needs chain.
30 some, you know, people that report to me. I got another individual, a supervisor that reports to me, and he has, you know, another dozen people report to him. So we got a pretty good fleet.
Are you still hands-on with stuff or not so much anymore?
No. Nope. It's union shop, so management can't have hands-on.
Darn it.
I enjoy getting hands-on. It was fun. As
a carpenter, I don't mind
getting dirty, man. That's how you learn. That's how I learn anyway. Yep. It is what it is. It's the rules. Got to follow it, which I can do that. But if anyone ever needs a hand, we can help out.
Okay.
I mean, we're not just like, nope, can't touch it.
Sure.
No, we can help you out. All right. And I'm always willing to help anyone out if they're struggling with something, because I did a lot of those jobs. So when they're asking, you knew that? They think you just sit up in an office and that's it. Yep. Yeah. And I go, I did this job for, you know, 6, 9 months, whatever it was when I started here. And you're like, no kidding? I'm like, yeah, I started on the floor just like you did, man. Yeah. So we like to promote within, you know, the people that are most knowledgeable are the ones that have already worked there.
Right, yeah.
So it makes it a lot easier.
Sometimes when you get that office job or whatever it might be, I just assume you're in an office of some sort. They think you're just go do this, go do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's all, yeah.
I just had one of those guys the other, you know, like maybe 6 months ago. But, you know, he said it, you know. Well, what do you know? You're just in the office all day. And I went, what do I know? As I said, I did that job. No, you didn't. I go, ask people. I went and asked around. He goes, I didn't know that you actually started back here. I said, you wouldn't know that.
So have you ever gotten to a pissing match with someone like that? Because they came in and said, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never done this.
Not a pissing match. No, just more or less like, well, what do you know? I've been in your shoes, man. I did that job. And then they kind of, you know, oh, really? Yep. Like, sure. I didn't just come into the office off the street.
Right, yeah.
You know, I started when I was 20 years old.
All right.
Yeah.
Now you're 34?
Well, April will be, yeah. Okay. I started a week before my birthday, which is kind of easy to keep track of, so.
Sure. And are you going to keep trying to move up? Is there more room to move up?
I mean, there potentially is. I really like what I do. I'm, you know, on the floor a lot more, not just solely at a desk all day. Sure. And that's not what, I mean, you need to be on the floor and be out there, be active.
Mm-hmm.
People have questions. So I like to keep busy that way. And that's more my style. I'm not a meeting guy. Yeah. Not a traveling guy. I mean, I just, I'm a homebody, you know, like, sure. I go places, but I'm a homebody.
You go to golf courses.
The wife always says, will you go golf? And I go, yeah, but we can drive. It's with like 3, 4, 5 hours.
Yeah, and I'm back.
That's doable. I'm okay.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I like to get out on the floor. I still like doing that. I don't want to be tied to the computer all day long or conference calls or meetings. That's just not
probably makes
style.
Your day go by faster though. Yeah. Go this, there, yep. there, and instead of one thing over right. and over, that would get a little repetitive.
It does.
So is there more places within it? Can you, is there a lot more to move up or I don't know how far up the chain?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, there's my boss's spot. I mean, his role could always change sure. and move up. So his plant manager would be like the next spot.
Okay.
I don't, per se really want to get into that part, you know, I mean, but if the opportunity is there, I'm not gonna say no,
sure,
but I'm also not looking for it either.
Okay.
You know, I like what I really enjoy what I do.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, not everyone can always say that they right. like what they do, and that's great that you do. So yeah, I didn't know what specifically. I figured Peerless Chain, May Chain. That just makes sense. But I didn't know what the day-to-day operations are like. And yeah. we've never actually sat down and just kind of talked about what you do. Yeah. I mean, you know that I'm a real estate agent and a teacher. Right. I already know what that entails.
Yeah.
But within all these big companies that we have in town here, didn't always know what everyone did or right. what the idea was. You know, I know that there's factory work and you're on the floor. I know that part. But then what do you do as you keep moving up? And now you kind of giving us a little insight to it, which is kind of neat, I think.
Yeah. No, it's a cool place. A lot of good people, too. I mean, it's an awesome place to work. That's why I've been there for 14 years. It's not because it sucks.
Right, yeah.
It's because I really enjoy it. I enjoyed it when I was on the floor. I enjoy it where I'm at now. And, you know, the biggest thing is people just attendance, man. They don't know how to show up. That irritates me.
That would irritate
irritates me. That's my biggest thing is just show up, man.
Yep.
Give me something. Give me 60%. It's better than not showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Literally. I mean, I tell people this. Just show up. At least you're putting the effort forward to be there on time and work.
Yep.
You know, you might not be the guy next to you that can crank it out, make it look easy, because maybe you learn differently. Yep. And I'm not one to judge on it, but show up is the most important part about a job, you know?
I know.
You're getting paid for a service. You know, nowadays everyone wants handouts, and I want this, I want that, I'm worth this. Well, but you're getting paid. That's the service, is you're getting paid.
Yep.
Extra handouts are fine and dandy and great, but you're accepting the payment. That's your reward, is your payment, and going home, you know, with a check, you know. And I think people have lost that. And I didn't grow up that way. My dad, my mom, like, I didn't grow up that way. You know, had to borrow $20 from Ma. You know, take the wife now. Back then, you know, to a movie date.
Oh my, $20 got you a date?
Well, it got Chinese and a dinner date.
Whoa.
Or it got Chinese and a movie. You know, because it was only like, I mean, I had a little bit of money, but not much.
Right.
You know, so to be like, Mom, man, I got borrowed $20. You know, I'm hoping she forgets a week later and week, you know, comes by. Hey, you still owe me $20. That's how I grew up.
You sure?
You know?
That's good.
And I'm still kind of that way, you know.
Did you have a job in high school?
I did.
Where'd you work at?
Had a couple jobs. actually, my parents' neighbor, Jack Gunnarsson, owner of XL Images out by Shopko.
Yep.
So I did that one for the school year. But I had quite a few, too, because Charlie Mary Roofing, Charlie up the road.
Yeah, right
neighbor.
Next door.
So that was like my first job, working in the summer for him, doing some roofs and stuff.
Sure.
So that was always a lot of fun. Did that for a couple of years. Got some bad feet, so I kind of got out of it. It was just too hard. But did that, did XL Images, and then I also worked at the hospital and the food service, which that might have been my favorite job I've ever had.
Really?
The stories you hear, man. You're giving food to people who are 80, 90, 100 sure. years old. The stuff they've lived through.
Oh, them telling you stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was, I just delivered the food, you know, to the lunch area. And then I was I was the snack guy at night. So I'd go up at night after we served dinner and then hand out snacks. And that's where all the stories came from.
Oh, sure.
A lot of people get mad at me because, you know, it was like 4 to 8, 8:30 at the latest was our shift.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I went down to 8:45. And it's because just some of the elderly that want to talk. You know, they haven't seen family, haven't visited them in a couple days. And I heard a lot of stories, you know.
Awesome.
So it was cool. It was one of my favorite jobs I've ever had.
Wow, I would not have thought that.
I really enjoy what I do now, but that was probably my favorite job I've ever had.
I mean, old people, you know, they always have something, and they do want to talk.
Because, absolutely.
Especially if they're at the hospital or a nursing home or whatever it might be.
Nursing home, that's all they wanted was just to talk.
Yep. They don't ever want your money. They just want time.
I
ever want.
My kid, when she's old enough, I'm going to tell her to go apply there in the food service because it's enjoyable. And the hours aren't bad. You got to work every other weekend. But everyone had to do it, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. The last thing I wanted to touch on, and I had a question I wanted to ask you. Oh, carpentry, mm-hmm. right? Do you still use any of those? Do you do any side jobs or anything for people?
Not side jobs, just more or less around the house. And if someone needs help with stuff.
Yeah, you helped me with my, folding door?
Well, kind of.
We got a few drinks in us.
Yeah,
I don't think
we tried. I'll say I'm happy what I'm doing for my career. The school part, it's just nice base knowledge to have.
Sure, yeah.
So, like, I think that was pretty beneficial. Wife, you know, we've got to assemble a lot of stuff here and there. So some of the directions she gets suck ass. I make it work.
That's right. Yeah. You're...
Build some shelves, things of that nature. Nothing crazy.
No. Just the basic stuff.
If I needed to remodel something, I could. But at the same time, too, I wasn't more of the finisher. I was more of the framer.
Okay.
So the finish work, like cabinetry, stuff like that, that's not my forte. I can do it, but I'm going to be a little too picky on myself.
Okay.
I'm not going to like it. If something's just a little off, it's going to bug me.
Okay.
And that's why I would honestly pay someone to do it.
My dad's like that. It's got to be perfect.
Yep.
And that's like when you came in here, you saw like the floor.
Yeah.
The floor had to be perfect.
It's awesome.
And then if you do more looking around here, he's done a lot of other things around this garage, but very picky as well. So I know what that's like.
I'd be too picky. Not many would probably see it. But it would drive me insane.
That's exactly
how
he is.
So I would just have to, you know, I think I'd rather just pay someone so I don't sit there and really critique it, you know, what I mean. So.
Well, that's good. I mean, do you have anything else you like to add? Any good stories you got or anything that you'd like to share?
Not a whole lot, man.
No. Summer's coming right around the corner. Golf is about to pick up.
I'm really hoping March is here, you know.
Next week's 50.
Well, it is actually almost here, and I'm hoping the golf course open up in March so we get an extra month of golfing.
Well, yeah, I saw some people were golfing, what was it, last week, and I don't know if they were.
Trempolo was open.
Really?
Westfield was open. I thought about it. I had a couple people ask, and, you know, I don't want to be out there with 90 other people just doing the same thing of saying, I golfed in February in Minnesota. Like, it's cool, but I golf at the simulator in town. That's golfing. And,
that's right. There's a new golf simulator place.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fun, but I'll wait for the summertime when it's nice and enjoyable.
Is there anything you do in the winters to pass the time until golf season comes around? Or?
So I do a little bit of gaming. I like to nerd out a little bit.
Oh, what are you playing?
Call of Duty.
Okay, Call of Duty.
I like to do a little bit of that.
Nice.
Waiting for Grand Theft Auto, new one to come out. But I think that's still a couple years out. But I've been a big Call of Duty guy for forever. So my wife don't like it because it's golf summer, game winter. I go, well, yeah, but what else? It's watch TV. But I said, you can only do so much of that.
Right, yeah.
I said, so I do a little bit of gaming.
Nice. Nothing so you're playing crazy. Call of Duty?
Yeah, nothing crazy. But
I hear all of my students talking about Fortnite this and some other stuff. I don't know I don't really know what that's all about, but I do know Grand Theft Auto.
I know Fortnite, but I don't know. I've never played it. Don't really know what you do. So.
I'm not a big gamer by any means, but when Grand Theft Auto does come out, I will buy that.
Oh, heck yeah.
My nephew, who's like 10, he's going to be 10, I believe, June. He loves playing Grand Theft Auto 5. And
he's going to be all for it then.
Oh, I know. He is. He comes over to our house, and aunt and uncle are letting him play.
Mom and dad don't really care.
But the game is a little different than it used to be when Grand Theft Auto used to come out.
Very.
Yeah. Yep. You can go into a strip club now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You pay for it.
Yeah.
And then you kill them and take your money back. It's just bad. God. It's bad. I know.
Oh, yes. So I can only imagine what 6 is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
That's one game I will play for a little bit, but I can't sit down. Like some people, they can play for hours on end. I'm maybe an hour at max here and there.
I can. It depends if there's a something you're working on or doing.
Yep.
But like, there's times where I'm like sitting there doing it. I'm like, I have nothing, like no new rewards I got to go after, attachments or accomplishments. And I just get bored. Like, I'm just sitting there like, I'm going to go watch TV because there's nothing for me to do right now.
Yep.
So.
Well, video games have come so far, even in the last 20 years.
I just bought a new TV.
Oh, how big?
It's a 50. It's okay. Just my game TV.
Oh, gotcha.
So I bought that, and it's a 4K. Wild.
Totally different experience.
Wild. It's so crazy. I had a plasma TV. I saw the sticker on the back from 2008 is when I bought it.
Oh, wow.
For $2,200.
Probably from Audio Designs.
No, I actually got it from Best Buy.
Okay.
I remember I needed my mom to actually take the credit card out because I wasn't old enough, but I worked here and there to make the money. But it was $2,200.
Yeah, those were so nuts.
And I bought that TV, and that's my. I mean, it still works. I just was like, you know what? I think I'm kind of missing out on something here. So I went and got the new one. It was only like $330.
I know.
For a 4K 50-inch. I'm like, why the fuck? Looking at that, I'm like, why was that $2,000?
I know. So. My parents still have a 15-inch TV in their kitchen that's plasma from Audio Designs when they were in the mall.
Yep.
And that one, I think that was like $700 too back then.
Oh, yeah.
It still works.
It's crazy. I mean, the quality of the plasma is still great. It's just it lacked a little bit with the game console.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, the game console is probably up here. The TV's way down here.
Exactly.
At that point.
But the picture-wise is still really good. Yeah. I mean, just the new one's a little bit brighter, a little bit more crisp.
Oh,
you
sure,
know,
sure.
And things of that nature. But for that TV, I mean, still rocking strong since 2008. So.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Nowadays, everything you can buy it for so much cheaper. Oh,
crazy.
And I mean, would you say you spent $2,200 on that?
On a 42-inch plasma TV.
About 82-inch TV that's in my house mounted and installed was like $1,500.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
Yeah, I know.
Different that is.
It's wild.
Well, anyways, that's where I think we can end right
there,
man.
Man.
It's good to have you here. Appreciate you stopping by. Yeah,
thanks for
having
me.
And we'll be having more garage beers in the summer.
Absolutely.
Tune in next week. And if you don't mind, or if it is so happens to be for you, subscribe, like, comment, whatever you can do to possibly help out this channel. I would appreciate it much. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find me on Spotify. Obviously, YouTube, if you're watching, you know where to go. But tune in next week. We'll be here with another guest with more fun and interesting topics. Cheers.